You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I want to wish each and every one of you a happy Independence Day today. This is a very important day in our nation's history and a wonderful day to celebrate with family and friends the many blessings that we have received from the Lord and that our nation has received. And in particular today, friends, we have a wonderful show lined up. I want to let you know that this is a pre-recorded program, so we won't be taking live phone calls today. However, we have a wonderful Independence Day lineup for you this morning. We're going to be interviewing a priest who has served as a chaplain for the Marines over in Iraq, and he is actually from the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father John Thomas Hannigan, who was ordained to the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Chicago in 1976. And, you know, many of you may be thinking, you know, Life Talk is usually about, life issues relating to the sanctity of human life. That's what we do in the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. What does this have to do, then, with, Independence Day, and in particular with Father Hannigan's work? But, in fact, there's a great tie-in here, because here in the United States, we are very blessed to have this freedom to work to build a culture of life. We have the freedom to speak out. You know, I love one of the radio spots that Father Frank Pavone does here on Relevant Radio 820 AM, where he talks about how in our country, our work is to defend the voiceless. And because of the many freedoms that we have in the United States today, we have the freedom to speak out against moral evils that are taking place in our society, like abortion. We have the freedom to speak out against euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide, the freedom to oppose embryonic stem cell research and human cloning. So this is a great blessing, and the work of our young men and women who are in uniform are really affording us those freedoms. So we feel blessed to have this day to celebrate that, and priests like Father Hannigan are those who are ministering to them on the front lines of the world's conflicts today. So we thank Father Hannigan for that wonderful work. We're going to be interviewing Father Hannigan, and then after that interview, we're going to be talking about Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which is later in the month of July. And as you may know, Cardinal George sent a letter to all priests in the Archdiocese of Chicago asking them to promote NFP Awareness Week because this is the Church's best-kept secret, my friends. You know, in a culture where contraception is rampant, many couples don't understand the great blessings that come with using natural family planning. It's the Church's best-kept secret, so we're going to be talking about that later in our program with Julie Rasmussen, who is the NFP supervisor for the Diocese of Rockford. So lots of exciting programming today, my friends. And without further ado, I want to introduce to you Father John Thomas Hannigan. He was ordained to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Chicago in 1976. He went to Quigley South, Loyola University, and then St. Mary of the Lake Seminary in Mundelein. He has his mom and dad and his sister Kathleen are faithfully departed, and he also has three other sisters who reside in the Archdiocese area or farther downstate, and lots of nieces and nephews. And he served as a priest in parishes here in the Archdiocese, St. Mary's in Chicago, St. James Parish in Sauk Village, St. Maurice in Morrisonville, and also at St. Raymond in Raymond, Illinois. And most of all, though, what's the most interesting is that he entered the Navy Chaplain Corps back in 1990. And he's been deployed since then at areas all over the country and the world. He was in South Carolina, then Okinawa, Japan, a place in Africa that I don't even know how to pronounce, Fallujah, Iraq. And it's really extraordinary. And when he was in Iraq, he was there for 7 months and covered 33,000 square miles. So we are very blessed to have Father Hannigan with us on Life Talk. Father Hannigan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you as well. And thank you for your wonderful service. So I understand that you were then deployed in Iraq for 7 months. Is that right?
I was deployed in Iraq for 19 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the first time around, I was in Fallujah for 7 months. And then I was deployed later on with 7th Marines for 12 months in the Al Anbar province, which included places like Haditha and Heat, Dula, Baghdadi, Barwana, Haqqaniya, Rawa, Al-Qaim, Rutba, Walid, Trabil, places like that.
Wow. And did you find that the Fallujah area, that's the area that we hear most about, where it appears that most of the conflict is taking place, was that your experience? Or no, was it really that this second deployment in the Al-Anbar province was riskier?
Right. I would say it was riskier because by the time I got to Fallujah, the big battle that took place in November had already taken place, and I didn't get there until, I got to stop and think, I didn't get there until like the February afterwards. So I saw the aftermath, and it was really when I got to the Al Anbar province that I encountered IEDs and RPGs and things like that.
Wow. Now, we as a civvy here, I don't know what an IED or a RPG is. Could you explain that for myself and our other listeners?
Sure. An IED is an improvised explosive device. I guess what we would consider it a landmine.
Oh, wow.
And they lay them, they strew them all along the roads that we would travel on to tell us Americans, you know, how much they disdained us being there. These were the insurgents that were laying the landmines or the IEDs for us. And then we would also have like RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades that would come our way from time to time. We would have mortar attacks. We would have sniper fire. And so as I and my RP or CA, an RP meaning a religious program specialist, or a CA, a chaplain assistant, a Marine who would act as my chaplain assistant, as we would get out of the various vehicles that we would drive along in and make our way into the buildings or the tents or wherever it was that we were going to meet with the troops to offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Many times there would be sniper fire that we would have to be, you know, on the lookout for a sniper fire that would happen as we would, you know, go around, you know, here and there in our travels.
I'm speaking with Father Hannigan, who just returned from 19 months in Iraq. He serves as a chaplain for the Marine Corps, and he is a Catholic priest ordained in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father Hannigan, tell us, first of all, why you decided to serve in this way. You know, many of us have family members who have served in Iraq or are currently serving in Iraq. My brother-in-law was over in Iraq for two different tours. I know that Margie's brother, Margie Breen, who is our producer, her brother served in Iraq. And, you know, my sister was over in Iraq for a couple of tours as well prior to entry, you know, when the U.S. re-entered Iraq. But anyway, tell us a little bit about why you decided to do this ministry of being a chaplain for the armed services. And also, did you go to Iraq? Did you volunteer for that, or did they call upon you to serve in that way?
I in a sense, volunteered. You know, I they asked me when I was in Djibouti, Africa.
That was the place that I didn't know how to pronounce. Thank you very much.
Okay.
A little bit embarrassing here, and it's all over
no
the
problem.
Airways. Yeah. What can we do? Okay.
Yeah, when I was in Djibouti, which is a place where we gather a lot of intelligence, I was asked at that time, after having spent 9 months in Djibouti, it's like, well, we really need a Catholic priest in Iraq. Would you be willing to do it? It would be a back-to-back deployment. It's like, great, sure, send me.
Wow.
And so I went, that was when I then went to Fallujah. And then when I was in Fallujah, you know, they said, you know, they wanted to, they were thinking about sending me to the Navy side of the house. And I said, well, I'd really like to stay with the Marines. And they said, well, the only place we can really send you is 7th Marines, but if we do that, you're going to, you know, PCS, do a permanent change of station to 29 Palms, California, and you're going to ship right back out to Iraq. I said, that's fine, great, send me. And so in that sense, I volunteered, and it's just tremendous ministry, first of all, to be a priest, and then secondly, to be a priest with our armed forces, especially with our armed forces in combat zones.
Oh, I can imagine. And I'm sure that, Father Hannigan, that you have some powerful stories. We need to head to a break. But when we come back, we're going to be chatting with you more about some of the experiences that you had in Iraq. You know, and I understand, too, that you baptized and confirmed 53 Marines in Iraq in a 12-month period. We're going to be talking with Father John Hannigan more about all of his wonderful experiences. But right now, we're going to head to a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
The relevant radio stations of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana invite you to a special gathering of the Catholic Women of Worship Thursday through Sunday, July 5th through the 8th at the Wyndham Hotel in Lisle, Illinois. The Catholic Women of Worship gathering is a four-day charismatic conference for men and women to help you go deeper into worship and experience the glory of His presence with the belief that this conference will affect our nation, the church, and our families. There will be music and ministry by the Living Praise Worship Team.
These are the days of Elijah. All I saw proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
There will be 4 days of praise, worship, speakers, workshops, Eucharist, and more. For complete registration and lodging information, log on to www.catholicwow.org. That's www.catholicwow.org. The Catholic Women of Worship Conference, July 5th through the 8th at the Wyndham Hotel in Lisle, Illinois.
Welcome back to this special Independence Day edition of Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our program airs on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. And I feel blessed that this year, it happens that our Life Talk show this month, rather, falls on Independence Day, because it gives us an opportunity to reflect on the many blessings that our nation has received, that we've received being citizens of the United States of America, and also to show gratitude for those who have made the sacrifices for us to live in this wonderful country. And among those great people are one of our guests, Father John Hannigan, an archdiocesan priest who served for 19 months in Iraq as a chaplain with the Marines. And Father John, before we went to a break, I was just mentioning this stunning statistic that in a 12-month period, you baptized and confirmed 53 Marines in Iraq. That's incredible.
Yes, it was really it was just a great experience to have Marines, soldiers, sailors coming up to you and saying, hey, I never got around to being confirmed, or, wow, I would really like to check out Catholicism, you know, any chance I can become a Catholic while I'm out here, or I would like to make my first Holy Communion.
Wow.
So, you know, many sacraments were received for the first time out there, and thanks be to God, I had a part to play in it.
Oh, praise God. What a wonderful ministry that you are doing. What are some examples? You know, I bet that the troops really appreciate having a Catholic priest as their chaplain while they're in a combat zone. Are there any examples that come to mind from your experiences?
Well, I think, several, I would say. I know one that comes to mind right away is I remember I was at a command outpost, and we had two RPGs, two rocket-propelled grenades that hit the ground just within a stone's throw of me. And then all of a sudden the enemy opened up fire on our camp from three sides of our camp. Before the troops went out to get the bad guys, some of the troops came up to me and said, Father, do you have the Holy Communion on you? And so I gave them Holy Communion. That was just a very powerful moment that stands out in my mind.
Oh, wow, I can imagine. That's really moving. I'm just trying to hold it together here, Father John.
I know, yeah, I mean, I can remember being called into the, where all the corpsmen were, all the medics were, the doctors and nurses, and there was a Marine that was laying on the table getting ready to go into surgery, and he was just really, really at just a lot of unrest, and So he wanted to talk only to a Catholic priest. He didn't want to talk to his battalion chaplain, who happened to be a Protestant. There was no one, no doctor, no nurse that he really wanted to. He wanted to talk with a priest, and he wanted to receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And so when they finally got a hold of me, and I got to his bedside, and I heard his confession, and I gave him Holy Communion and gave him anointing of the sick, and he went into surgery. And after he went into surgery, I remember the doctor and a couple of the nurses coming up to me and said, you know, you didn't see him before you got here, Father, but it's like you wouldn't believe night and day. I mean, the transformation that took place when you came up to him and just said, hi, I'm Father Hannigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they said, just the fact that there was someone from his faith, a priest, you know, from his faith group that was there with him. And that just, night and day, he went from a man of unrest to a man of peace. And they couldn't believe it. They just had they had to do a double take, you know.
Wow.
So it was moments like that certainly said, wow, I'm glad I'm here, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And thanks be to God for our faith.
Absolutely. You know, it just shows, I mean, when people are in these critical situations of life, you know, we need Jesus and we need the Eucharist. And as a priest, you know, you are able to bring that to us. And I think that that's so incredibly important. I think that a lot of times we don't appreciate our priests until we only have, you know, like your situation, one in a 33,000 square mile area. I mean, we don't realize here in the U.S. how blessed we are to have such accessibility to Mass and to the sacraments.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I mean, and I would get around to like 52 camps. You know, some of the camps were battle positions, some of the camps were command outposts, but there was like 52 sites that I would visit like once every 4 to 5 weeks because I was the only priest in that whole 33,000 square mile radius, which was about the size of South Carolina.
Wow.
And, you know, and many times I would get there and if they were on patrol or if they were out on a mission or if they were sleeping because they had just gotten back from a mission, they were getting ready to go on another mission, I dare not wake them, it's like then that would mean that they would see a priest once every 10 weeks instead of once every 5 weeks because I was the only priest, you know.
Yes.
And they would come up to me, you know, Father, you know, would you hear my confession? Or, you know, Father, you know, I would like to receive Holy Communion. And we would celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And many times the holy sacrifice of the Mass would have to be done, you know, lickety-split, so to speak, because, hey, you know, the needs of the mission, you know, the enemy had just opened up fire down the road, and so they wanted to receive the Eucharist, and yet they also needed to get out there to, you know, where they needed to be.
And where would you celebrate the Mass? And how would you? I mean, I wouldn't imagine that there would be an altar there and a chapel. How would you celebrate Mass?
Right, and many times it would be, you know, in a room that, you know, had a floor that was bloodstained, you know.
Wow.
I remember celebrating Mass where a Marine had just been killed just a week prior. I celebrated Mass on top of ammo boxes and MRE boxes, MRE, which stands for Meals Ready to Eat. I would celebrate Mass anywhere I could, whether it was, you know, maybe, say, pull down the back end of a Humvee or a 7-ton truck and you know, celebrate Mass there. I celebrate Mass in a tiny little hole in the ground, or celebrate Mass in some bombed out building, wherever the troops were, you know, and however I could bring them the sacraments.
Oh, thank God for your wonderful work, Father John. We're going to head to another break, but before we do, we're going to have a little musical tribute here to our troops, so stay with us. And when we come back, Father John, I'd like to ask you about some of the close calls that you've had over in Iraq and what a typical day is like for you. We're speaking with Father John Hannigan, of the a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
It has been a rewarding, often hectic, and definitely a memorable few weeks for Francis Cardinal George as he celebrates 10 years as Archbishop of Chicago. We had cameras at the various anniversary events, and during the next half hour, we'll bring you the highlights of how this milestone was really a celebration of the Catholic faith here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Living a Christian life in a secular world is a challenge. The Young Adult Ministry Office invites all young adults to meet that challenge with Theology on Tap, a summer speaker and discussion series.
Theology on Tap connects people college age and in their 20s and 30s, married and single, for a great faith-filled conversation. Theology on Tap has been serving the finest in speakers, conversation, and theology for 27 years, addressing key elements of our Catholic faith.
Topics include spirituality, sexuality, social justice, and service. We'll discuss prayer, the Mass, sacraments, grace, even what the Gospels have to say about life today.
Join us for Theology on Tap now through August 5th at 40 parishes and colleges throughout Chicagoland. For details, visit yamchicago.org. That's yamchicago.org.
Let's get together for Theology on Tap.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we have a special Independence Day edition of Life Talk this month. And I want to wish all of you a very blessed and happy 4th of July. I hope that you're spending this day with family and friends as we reflect on the many blessings that God has bestowed on this wonderful country that we live in, the United States of America. And we also reflect on the many sacrifices that people over the years have made for this country and that people are making today. Men and women who have literally put their lives on the line for the United States, serving over in Iraq and other parts of the world as well. And we're blessed to have with us Father John Hannigan. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and he is a chaplain for the Marines, and he has been deployed all over the world in this role. But most recently, he served for 19 months in different areas of Iraq, helping our men and women in uniform and ministering to them. And we're going to be speaking about NFP in this show later on. But Father John, I hope that you don't mind if we keep you on actually for the rest of the show. And we just love to have you with us. And I hope that you can stay with us for the remainder of this program.
Oh, sure. I'd love it.
Great. That's terrific. You know, when the Holy Spirit is moving, you know, who am I to stop that? So Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, you know, is in July, and the Cardinal has sent a letter to all the priests and parishes, and people who are interested in that can call the Archdiocese of Chicago and talk with the NFP coordinator, Maria Garcia, to get materials for your parish and things like that. And that's very important. But we got this special Independence Day program going with Father John. And Father John, I understand that you've had some close calls while you were in Iraq. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes. Some of the close calls that I had was, I remember I was in a Humvee and we were in a convoy leaving real late at night. It must have been like, after midnight. Going through this village. And again, I was in a Humvee and right in front of me was a 7-ton truck. And the 7-ton truck hit an IED, improvised explosive device, and the whole truck just, all four wheels, lifted off the ground. And
wow.
I remember one of the Marines coming to me and saying, you know, Father, where's the doc? We need him. And I said, the doc's in the 7-ton truck that just, you know, blew up. And you know, thanks be to God, no one was hurt seriously. We had a few concussions, but no one died, no one was wounded seriously. And all I could think of later on, too, was, you know, here I was in a Humvee, that 7-ton truck weathered the storm much, much better than my Humvee would have weathered it.
Right.
Then I remember there was another incident where I was Victor 4. I was the fourth vehicle in the convoy, and the first vehicle in the convoy, again, I was in a Humvee, and the first vehicle in the convoy was a 7-ton truck, and the 7-ton hit an IED that time, and again, the truck, all four wheels lifted up off the ground, and there was one a pretty good concussion that was endured during that time, and then there were several Marines that incurred concussions, but for the whole, I was like, other than that, everyone was good to go. And I just remember we were waiting around for help to come so as to tow that truck that had been hit, to tow it away so that the enemies wouldn't be able to get their hand on one of our trucks. And as we were waiting, they decided that they were going to move me out of harm's way and move me into another vehicle and take me back to the camp. And so the Marine was saying, Father, come on, get out of this vehicle, and we'll get you another vehicle. And as I started getting out, all of a sudden this Marine said, pardon me, Father, and he just, like, pushed me back something fierce into the vehicle because the enemy had opened up fire on us.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
We returned the fire. So it made for quite an exciting Saturday evening, so that was kind of
oh,
nice.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this emphasizes is we've just got to pray for our men and women in uniform so much.
Yeah, for sure. You never know when that bullet is going to come your way,
Wow.
Many a time I would go to this one particular, designated area where the Marines and the soldiers were, and there was always a lot of snipers. It seemed like every time I went there, one of our soldiers was being hit by sniper fire. And then also there was another time I remember when I said a prayer to St. Lucy, thanking her for giving my driver some really good eyesight, because I was in a 7-ton truck, and it was at night, and he had on his NVGs, his night vision goggles, and he was able to see, he was able to stop the truck time enough to keep us from being hit by an IED, which was in the ground. We came 8 inches away from hitting a 120-millimeter anti-tank, 2-propane tank IED.
Wow.
So that would have done a pretty big number on us.
Oh, my goodness. Well, St. Lucy, who's the patron saint of vision and eyesight, thank you for your protection.
Yes. St. Lucy was working overtime that night. Yes, indeed.
Wow. Well, Father John, we're heading into another brief break here, and when we come back, we want to talk with you more about your ministry in Iraq, what your regular day was like as a military chaplain serving in harm's way with our men and women in uniform. And friends, we're speaking with Father John Hannigan, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and military chaplain for the Marines. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk on 820 AM.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM,
The Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And a very happy Independence Day to everybody. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, as you know, we've been speaking with Father John Hannigan, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, who served 19 months in Iraq as a military chaplain with the Marines. And Father Hannigan has been sharing with us about the many close calls he's had in Iraq. He's been sharing with us about the miraculous 53 baptisms and confirmations that he did for Marines in Iraq during just a 12-month period. He's been sharing with us powerful stories of celebrating the Mass on ammunitions boxes and in rooms that had blood-stained floors. And he's been sharing with us about priests saying, excuse me, Father, and pushing him back because the enemy has opened fire on him. I mean, this has been an incredibly powerful program. And Father John, we just thank you so much for being with us and sharing about your ministry with us today.
Oh, well, you're more than welcome. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity. It's great being a military priest.
Well, praise God. Now, Father John, how is being a priest? I think we've already heard this, but how is it different to be a priest stationed as a military chaplain instead of being stationed or serving, you might say, in a parish? I know that you served at a number of parishes in the Archdiocese before you began your work as a military chaplain.
I think one of the things that stands out in my mind right away is, of course, all of your parishioners are mostly, like, really young, like 18 to 22 years old. And also, you're living, breathing, you're doing just about everything with your parishioners at all times. I mean, in a parish, you know, you celebrate Mass, and you may see some of the parishioners at meetings in the evenings, or see the school children during the day. But you know, these Marines, you're with them, you know, 24/7. You know, you're sleeping in more or less the same areas. You're eating meals with them. You're praying with them. You're traveling with them. You're encountering the same type of dangers to a great degree that they are, you're just with them a lot more than you are with the average parishioner in a Chicago parish.
Now, does the opposition in Iraq know about your presence? Do they know that there are priests and also there are Protestant ministers, is my understanding as well, who travel with the troops who are unarmed? I mean, do they know that? Are you sort of a special target for them?
Yes, very much so. Yes, I've always heard that the special targets are always the commanding officer they want to take out, the radio man. Calm, they want to take them out, they want to take the chaplain out, and they also want to take the docs out.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, my sister's now in medical school for the Air Force, so, Father, you're not making me feel very good with that. But anyway, now, because you are not armed, how are you protected? I mean, this seems crazy. You know, if I were ever to go serve in Iraq, which anybody who knows me knows, you know, I'm a former Miss Wisconsin, that really seems like a stretch. But if I were, I would definitely want, you know, some way to protect myself. You don't have any. How are you protected over there, Father John?
I trust to a great degree my RP or my CA who's there to protect me.
What is that? What's an RP?
An RP is a religious program specialist, and he's there to act as not only my administrative and technical aid, but he's also there to protect me. Mm-hmm. He's right there, Johnny, on the spot to push me down. If he sees a bullet coming, he'll just push me down, get me out of harm's way, and he will be my you know, my M16, or he will be my 9mm.
Wow. And is
and the same thing works true for a chaplain assistant, because many times we don't have sailors that are able to be there as an RP for us, so we'll employ the use of a Marine to act as a chaplain assistant, and he would act in that very same way.
I see. So these are soldiers who are armed like any other soldier, is that right? And their job is to assist you in your ministry and to protect you as well?
Yes, yeah, a sailor or a Marine who would help me set up for mass, who would say, you know, who would like be out there with the troops, and the troops would say, hey, I really need to have this or that, and it's like, okay, I'll put you in touch with Father, or I'll put you in touch with the Jewish chaplain, or the Protestant chaplain, or the Muslim chaplain, to try and help you, you know, get what you need, you know.
Wow, so the chaplains cover a number of different faith traditions. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
What is kind of the morale of our servicemen and women over there, and how do you think we're doing? That's sort of the question that everybody's wondering. You know, I mean, we get our information through the media, and sometimes that is, well, not very objective, really.
Right.
But how do you feel we're doing, and also what is the morale like among our troops in Iraq?
I think the morale is very good. I know, you know, when I was there, and I came back in January from having been there for 19 months, and I just think that the morale was very good during the time that I was there, and also the reports that I get from my chaplains. I'm a regimental chaplain, so I have some of my battalion chaplains that are out in Iraq right now, and the reports that I get are the morale is very good. We are one big family, and so we have one another. You know, that's all that we have out there. And so, you know, we mean a great deal to one another. We take care of one another. We look out for one another's back. So
you supervise then a number of chaplains who are out there serving right now in Iraq? Is that right?
Yes, and also a number of chaplains who are getting ready to go to Iraq, or a number of chaplains who have just gotten back from Iraq.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable. And how do you think the mission of our men and women in uniform, how do you think that's going? I mean, we're here in the U.S., and we have not had a terrorist attack since September 11th, you know, praise God. And so, you know, something seems to be working. So
I would say we are winning. And, you know, after having talked with the people out there in Iraq, I mean, they are, you know, the good Iraqi people, and there are many good Iraqi people. It's the insurgents that are given a bad name to, you know, many of the good Iraqis. And the many good Iraqi people have talked to me about the brutal attacks on their life, on the lives of their loved ones that, you know, they received during Saddam Hussein's regime. That, you know, they've shown me, you know, the scars on their bodies, you know, that they incurred, and they just, they can't thank us enough for being there. They're so appreciative that we're there, and we are indeed winning. You know, I saw when we were first there how we were training and also getting the enemy off of our backs, and then when reinforcements came in, how, you know, the troops that came in were able to take the enemy off our backs, and they fought the enemy while we continued to train the Iraqis to be good policemen and good soldiers.
What are the Marines doing then, besides training the Iraqis to become policemen and soldiers? What are our Marines
We're also
doing?
There for, like, humanitarian efforts. I know we would go out and we would bring, like, school supplies and food and clothing to the adults and the children. You know, some of the children were very fluent in English in the sense of they knew great important words like candy and more and please, and they would hold out their hands and they would run after our trucks, and we would throw them soccer balls, or we would throw them candy or potato chips, and we would get down there, you know, with the children and you know, be right there. And the adults were, again, so appreciative too. You know, we would be there to help them in whatever way we possibly could. I remember one thing that really stands out in my mind. We had two 40-year-old men that were running after our Humvee saying thank you, you know, in their language, because this was the first pair of shoes that they had ever owned in their life, is what I later on heard. And it's like we gave them $1 million by giving them a pair of someone's used shoes that, you know, Americans had sent over to us to give out to the poor.
Wow. We are talking with Father John Hannigan, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, who served for 19 months as a military chaplain in Iraq with our troops on the front lines. And friends, we're going to head to another break, but first we're going to just raise our thoughts in prayer for those men and women serving on the front lines with this special musical tribute. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk. More with Father John Hannigan.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with
serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training.
and the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552 or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
And welcome back to Life Talk on this very special Independence Day, friends. I hope that all of you have a very blessed and joyful Independence Day. This program is pre-taped, not a live program as we are usually doing, but we have such a phenomenal guest, Father John Hannigan, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, who has served 19 months as a military chaplain in Iraq with our Marines. And Father Hannigan's been sharing with us amazing stories of being shot at and celebrating Mass in very difficult conditions in troops where grenades are flying at them as they're asking to receive the Eucharist before going into battle. Father John, this has been one of the most powerful radio shows that I've ever hosted, and I just really appreciate your sharing your stories with us today.
Well, thanks for letting me have that opportunity. I appreciate very much being a Catholic, being a Catholic priest, and serving with our Marine Corps.
What a blessing. Now, I understand that you have run into people who you met when you were a parish priest here in the Archdiocese, then when you were serving in Iraq. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, that was really something. When I got a letter from a lady who was a parishioner of mine back in St. Mary's, my very first assignment there at 138th and State Street. And she told me, she said, "Wow, I'm glad I finally located where you are, and I just wanted to tell you that my son is a Marine, and my son, who is the Marine, Sergeant John Kelly, is stationed out there in Iraq with you." And so I looked him up on the Global, and I found out that he was at Takadum, a place that I never really went to in my travels. Of the 52 camps that I went to, Takadum was never one of my stops, although we would stop there every now and then to refuel the helicopter. And so I thought, well, I talked to him on email, and I thought, well, I lost the opportunity to actually get together with him in person. And then when I get back to 29 Palms after being in Iraq, I get this email from him saying, "Father, you know, glad to see that you're back home. I saw signs on the road on the base there at 29 Palms that you're back." And it's like, "What? You know, what's going on here?" And it's like, he said, "My office is right down the street from you." So I got together with him for lunch one day, and I was kidding with him. I said, "You know, the last time I saw you, I was holding you in my arms 25 years ago when I baptized you."
Unbelievable.
So,
wow.
So that and so many other instances, you know, people that I've been with in life previously, and you know, it's a small world. I just met someone the other day at Mass yesterday at Mass. I was coming out of the chapel here at 29, and he said to me, "It's been a long way from Djibouti, hasn't it, Father?" It's like, well, I looked up, but we hadn't been together since Djibouti. And, you know,
wow.
People who have said to me when I saw him in Fallujah or Okinawa, it's like, "Wow, chaplain, you know, you were my chaplain in boot camp," something like that. So it makes me feel
amazing.
Good. It's a small world indeed.
Yes, you can tell that your ministry is really having an impact, that people remember, you know, years ago That's just wonderful. Now, I understand that when you were in the Archdiocese, you were involved in the pro-life movement here as well, which, of course, as the Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese, I'm really interested in that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay, yeah, this was back in the, like, I want to say the late 70s, early 80s, if my memory serves me right, Father Charlie Finelli. He was the director of pro-life at that time.
Oh, that's great. Father Finelli is now the vice chair of our priest's advisory board. And, of course, he's a pastor at one of the parishes. I think he's at St. Thomas More. He's pastor here in the Archdiocese. So that's wonderful, though. That is great. Now, since you interact so much with our troops, or you did when you were overseas, were they aware of a lot of the criticism that is occurring with the war? And do you think that that was, in a sense, demoralizing for them?
No, not at all. I mean, they certainly were aware of the criticism, but, of course, we all know that, you can't please everyone. And we saw the great good that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what we heard people saying, we saw firsthand people talking to us and telling us how much they appreciated us being there. We saw the smiles on the children's faces. We saw the adults that were, very happy when we were helping them, either, bringing them school supplies or clothes or helping them, trying to do something with making their houses inhabitable, habitable. So we saw a lot of the good that was happening, so that certainly counteracted any bad stuff that we were hearing. And also, during my 12 months there, 72 of my brothers, of our brothers, were killed in action, soldiers and Marines and sailors. And so we knew that they didn't die in vain, and we wanted to keep their memory alive in the many good things that we were doing. Not to mention the over 600 guys that were wounded, sailors, soldiers, and Marines that were wounded during my just 12 months there. And I'm able to still see some of them as I travel from 29 pounds and I go out and see our wounded in Bethesda or Walter Reed or Palo Alto or out in the burn unit in San Antonio or down in San Diego at Balboa. So I certainly respect them, and they're truly our true heroes, mm-hmm. those guys who have been killed in action and guys who have been wounded in action.
Absolutely.
And their families and friends as well.
Absolutely. What would you say to a priest who is considering becoming a chaplain? I understand there's a great need for Catholic priests to serve as chaplains.
I would say, please, well, we need you. Not only Uncle Sam needs you, but also the Catholic Church needs you, because we are so short of priests in the military. As the Navy chaplains serve not only the Marines, but the Navy and the Coast Guard as well. And so there's a shortage of priests, here among the Navy chaplains, and then also the Army chaplains are hurting even more so. And the Air Force chaplains have a few more priests, but not that many to speak of. So we really need priests in the military. And my hope, my prayer is that more priests will, respond to the aid of their country and become Army or Navy or Air Force chaplains.
Absolutely. Well, Father John, we can certainly see that you and all of your brother priests who are serving are just doing amazing work, and it's a great comfort to us to know that you are over there and others like you serving the spiritual needs of our troops, and we thank you for your sacrifice.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for letting me do this. That's great. Thanks to God, too, and thanks to people, in the past. Today we're celebrating the 4th of July, so, it calls to mind Charles Carroll, who was the only Catholic who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the Hannigan Helpers, the many people who support our troops, who send over rosaries and prayer books, and people like Mary Becker and Emmy Tieran, who helped with the Hannigan Helpers in getting me, like, thousands of dollars of Bibles and rosaries and prayer books. And I would come across a Marine.
And Father Hannigan, we just have 15 seconds. Do you want to give a number or an email where people could support your work?
Oh, okay. Well, my email would be john.hannigan@usmc.mil.
Great. john.hannigan@usmc.mil. And Father, thank you so much. Could you give us a quick blessing here?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you all, bless our country. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father John Hannigan, chaplain for the U.S. military who spent 19 months in Iraq. Thanks so much for being with us today, and have a happy and blessed Independence Day.